Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first episode of Comedy with Cameron, a job that's no laughing matter, a brand new series on the wonderful KPCR, or the Pierce College Radio Broadcast Station. I am your host, Cameron Kern, a Pierce College student on a journey to explore the vastly exciting world of comedy and performing arts from professionals in the industry. On today's episode, I am joined by the ever so lovely Miss Fanny Araña. Did I say that good?
You said that beautifully.
Hailing
thank you.
From Van Nuys High School, go Wolves.
Woohoo!
Welcome, Miss Araña. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully, Cameron. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem.
What an honor it is to be the first guest on your first show.
Yeah, it better be an honor. This is going to be
make
the greatest
it or break it, dude.
Show ever.
Ever.
So, let's jump right in it. What is your official title and job description at Van Nuys High School?
Well, at Van Nuys High School, I'm officially the Performing Arts Coordinator, overseeing the entire Performing Arts program because, as you very well know, we at Van Nuys High School have a stellar Performing Arts magnet.
That is very true. How long have you had this position?
Actually, how long have you been an educator? Only been at Van Nuys for a year. I just started my second year at Van Nuys. I've been an educator, however, for 27 years with the Los Angeles Unified School District.
Impressive.
Because before Van Nuys, I was actually a theater director and producer at Nobel Middle School.
Wow. So, that you answered my next question. Have you always been involved in the performing arts throughout your years being an educator at every school? Were you always a performing arts, you know, were you focused on that aspect?
When I first started teaching, I started teaching English as a second language.
Okay.
Because myself being an English language learner, since English is my second language, I felt a particular passion for those kids who were just coming into the country learning the language
right.
fresh and new. But then I kind of migrated into the field of English. And because I've always been a theater person, it was only natural to start teaching theater and performing arts and speech.
Right.
And I just went from there and it took off.
So what is your second language? Is it Spanish?
It's my first language.
That's your first language.
Yeah, Spanish is my first and English is my second.
Dang, that's hard. Like, would you say that English is like the hardest language to learn, per se?
It's hard because it's contradictory and it's unique and it's strange and it really, really, the rules are made and then broken every
yeah.
time you speak and write.
That's how I felt like when I was learning Spanish in high school. Like, I always felt like everything was backwards. Like when I was trying to learn the language.
That's called dyslexia. You know, there's a support group for that. We'll talk to your college counselor when we're done with the broadcast.
Yeah, okay. I think I need to be checked up about it.
Okay.
So did you said where did you go to college? Was it a college or a trade school?
I went to Cal State Northridge.
Wow.
Go Matadors.
Hey, that's local. That's right. That's where I'm trying to go to. Hey, Cal State people, if you're hearing this, hook it up. Hook a brother up. All right. So what did you say you studied?
Well, that's kind of a long and tumultuous story because I went in a gung-ho theater major.
Okay.
But my parents weren't so keen on me going into the arts
mm-hmm.
because they kind of considered theater as being clown school.
Yeah.
That wasn't their thing. So what I did was I took a roundabout way and I became a speech communication major with an emphasis in, voila, the performing arts. And I really, really, really found my place when I joined the speech and debate team, the forensics team, the varsity sport of the mouth. And
wow.
That's where I really found my niche. And from there, I started doing stand-up comedy.
There you go. So what would you say now to like kids that you deal with that are labeled a dreamer or like the parent that has a kid that has been labeled like the dreamer that has dreams of like being in the performing arts or being a comedian?
Dreams become reality. And I really, really, really struggled with my parents holding me down. And they actually didn't because I found a roundabout way to pursue what I was passionate about. And so if you have a student, a child who is a dreamer, let them dream and let them make it a reality.
Right.
And if you yourself are a dreamer, you know, as Shel Silverstein would say, come in, because you can make it what you want it to be. And it might come to fruition and it might not, but if you don't try, you'll never know.
Exactly.
Just
so,
saying.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's how I think too. Do you think that is the opinion of Van Nuys High School, like as a whole, or is that just your opinion?
No, I absolutely believe that Van Nuys High School promotes the arts, encourages the arts, nourishes the arts in every way, in every capacity. We have 7 performing arts departments. We have film, we have theater, we have dance, we have a lighting and sound academy.
Yep.
We have instrumental music and choral music. I mean, we have it all.
Yeah, I was involved in many of that. I know about that.
You know, for the listeners that don't know, that's how you and I met.
Exactly, yeah. We met...
at Van Nuys High School.
Yeah. What a journey. What a journey it's been, right? Okay, moving on. how would you describe the students at Van Nuys High School? Like, how are they different from other schools with all these programs at this school?
You know what I love about Van Nuys High School is that the students are very much a community and a family. And while performing arts is really competitive, they're not really a competitive bunch. They're there to support each other and help each other. And if one person gets a lead that somebody else wanted, then it's water under the bridge and then you move on and you help the person in whatever capacity, whether you're an ensemble player or whether you're a lead. And it's really very much a joined community where
exactly.
everybody helps each other.
Yeah, my experience at Van Nuys, it was like we were all trying to do something. So there wasn't like, you know how you see in like TV and movies how there's like cliche, like there's jocks and
right.
there's the theater kids. I never found that at Van Nuys High School. We were all trying to make our school life better. And we were all trying to do something that meant a lot to us.
What I love about Van Nuys too is there's a lot of what I call cross-pollinization. So we have a medical magnet, we have a math science magnet, and we have a performing arts magnet, in addition to the residential school with the kids that live in the area. And the wonderful thing about Van Nuys is that every single program is open to everybody. Mm-hmm. And so you've got kids who are leads in the play that are also singing in the a cappella choir and playing an instrument. And lo and behold, they end up being a medical magnet student. And you've got a kid who's like jamming
exactly.
on the guitar in an instrumental class, and they're a residential student. So everything is open to everybody. And there's a lot of, like I said, cross-pollinization. So, you know, and like you said, it's just really nice, big, everybody's all together.
Exactly. So what are some clubs that you... or like some other things besides performing arts that you are helping and are the like the head of?
Myself?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the sponsor for GSA, the Gay Straight Alliance, or the Genders and Sexuality Alliance, as it is now called,
okay.
because I'm a huge, huge, huge LGBTQ plus activist. I believe that love is love is love, and love has no labels. Hashtag
wow.
love has no labels. And that... everybody deserves to be happy.
Yeah, agreed. So what type of stuff do you do in that club?
Well, we get in a lot of guest speakers.
Okay.
And we promote a lot of events that have to do with anti-bullying and supporting the underserved population.
Wow, that's great. I want to be involved in that club. I should have joined more clubs when I was at Van Nuys.
Yeah,
feel
but
bad.
If I recall, Cameron, you were a really active and out there student. You were a member of ASB.
Yeah.
You were in the theater department. You were in the Lighting and Sound Academy. You had a lot going
yeah,
on
I,
in high
I
school.
Did what I could. This interview isn't about me, though. This is about you.
All right,
this
then.
Is about all the things that you do.
Well, I have a lot going on, Cameron. I mean, let's be honest with who we are. I'm an active, busy woman. Do you know that I also have a second job? I also teach drama at Temple Ahavat Shalom in Northridge.
Oh, and can you repeat what it's called again?
I teach a drama class at Temple Ahavat Shalom in Northridge.
Okay.
In addition to a class that's all about self-advocacy for, you know, teaching 10th graders how to speak up for themselves and find their own voice. So I'm an active and busy woman. Now that this interview is all about me, let's just bring it out there and talk about it.
So that moves on to my next question. When you take on a position like at a high caliber school like Van Nuys and the school, there's no way I'm going to be able to pronounce what
Temple,
that school.
Temple. Say it with me. Temple.
Temple.
Ahavat.
Ahavat.
Shalom.
Shalom.
It's in Northridge.
In Northridge.
Big shout out to Rabbi Lutz. Hey.
Rabbi Lutz, where are you at? So when you take on positions at these schools, what are some challenges you face? Especially at Van Nuys, because I don't know how long Temple off whatever. I'm totally disrespecting this. I'm sorry
no,
if you're
all
listening.
No, you're all good, boo.
When you take on a position, like Van Nuys High School has been around for over 100 years. We've had students and alumni like Robert Redford and Marilyn Monroe, like huge in the industry. when you take on a position like that, what type of reputation do you feel like you have to uphold, and what are some challenges you face when trying to uphold that reputation?
Well, first and foremost, it's really important for the brand of the school to be open and accessible to the entire community. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not just gearing yourself towards one particular audience. Just like we said that we are all-encompassing.
Yeah, we're all.
You know, we want to make sure that no matter what position you're in, no matter what school you're in, you know, everybody knows that everybody is welcome. That's the whole point of the Gender and Sexuality Alliance. Mm-hmm. It's open to everybody. It's about acceptance and welcoming everybody in. And I like to present that same feeling when promoting a school. And Van Nuys has an amazing reputation, but I'll tell you what, Cameron, it's the hidden gem of the valley. I don't think that enough people know about the greatness that is Van Nuys High School. And one of my big philosophies is to get that branding out there and get that name out there. That's why we now have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram, we have a Twitter, because I want people to know that there is always something great happening at Van Nuys High School.
Yeah, agreed. So if you could do something for Van Nuys, like what is your future goal for Van Nuys High School? Like if you could have some type of impact, like in 50 years when they look back on all the magnet coordinators at Van Nuys High School, what would they want to say about you, and what type of impact do you leave when you come in to that school every day?
That's a really great question. Well, first of all, I'm going to say that I'm going to go down on record as the magnet coordinator with the absolute most colorful office, because I have decorated my office with artifacts from multiple shows that I've done in the last 15 years of directing. So I've got stuff up there from Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Alice in Wonderland, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Fiddler on the Roof. And I'm really proud of the work that I've done. So I want to make sure that I always display a little bit of me in everything that I do. With that said, I'm a huge advocate for technical theater. Right now, we're in this gorgeous studio and we're on these really expensive mics. And right now, the one thing that I know that Van Nuys is lacking, and I really hope the helpful Honda people are listening to me right now, is that we are lacking a state-of-the-art lighting and soundboard. Mm-hmm. Because if we're expected to raise 21st century learners, one of the things that we need is we need to bring our technical theater department into the 21st century. And right now, that is my goal, and that's where I want to make a difference.
Right. What a great answer. So if you're just joining us, then you have missed exactly half of an enthralling interview with the wonderful Fanny Araña. Did I say that? That was good?
Yeah, and you know that means spider in Spanish. Araña.
Did you know Araña. I think I'm killing it. Now I know. From Van Nuys High School. So, Miss Araña, you said you started in comedy. So you got your start in comedy.
I did.
Yes.
I did. I honestly never intended on being a teacher. Education was one of the furthest things from my mind, other than any field having to do with math, because that's not my forte. I started off in the speech and debate team at Kelsey and Northridge.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, the forensics team, the varsity sword of the mouth.
You.
And I got really, really involved in doing oral interpretation of literature and speeches. And one of the things that I found I was really good at was speaking to entertain, or after dinner speaking, which is basically a comedy routine with a specific thesis statement, a beginning, middle, and end. Mm-hmm. So it's like an essay, and it's a well-constructed essay, but it's funny. Mm-hmm. So what I started doing is I started going into my own life. So as we were discussing earlier, Spanish is my second language because I'm Cuban. And being born in Cuba, you know, there's a lot of humor that I was able to pick up out of, you know, coming into this country as a young child, not speaking English. I also happen to be Jewish, as you know, because we were just discussing my position at Temple Ahavat Shalom. So I consider myself a Cuban Jew. Don't call me Cubish, because that seems diminutive.
Yeah,
and I'm a bigger than life personality. Juban. So I consider myself a Juban. And when I started doing after dinner speaking or speaking to entertain for the speech and debate team, that was my first topic of my first speech. And from there, that kind of blossomed into a stand-up comedy routine. And I just took it from there. And so what I would do is to rehearse my speeches when I was getting ready for a state or a national competition, is I would go into I would go to open mic nights at local comedy clubs. And I would actually do my entire speech from beginning, middle to end. And then I realized, well, that's great, except it's not really what I need for the comedy circuit. So I would cut out the intro component and I would cut out that very, very beautiful last moment of like social significance where I tied it up all up into a little ball. And then I left them with a joke. So I learned how to reconstruct my comedy and my actual speech to fit the comedy circuit. And then I started doing more and more comedy, which led me to starting to headline at those comedy clubs.
Okay.
Once I switched the format, I was able to start making more of a comedy impact. And it wasn't so much rehearsing my speech anymore. Now it was, hey, I'm here to do an act and I'm getting paid for it. And then I started doing improvisational comedy with a theater troupe. And I really, really, really excel at character work because, you know, accents and dialects are kind of my thing. And I'm certainly not a shy and introverted person, so I don't have a problem putting myself out there wearing
weird and funky
costumes and making people laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm also really good about getting an audience rolling. So I did that, and I was trying to make a living at it. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to pay my rent by doing that, so I started substitute teaching.
Okay.
And that really helped because I was doing comedy at night and on weekends. I was substitute teaching during the day. I was able to pay my rent and make people laugh. And then what I realized is that my real audience were the students that I was with. And they became my guinea pigs for my jokes. So A, I had to keep everything clean. B, you know what? If you can make a middle schooler laugh without telling a fart joke, you know that you're doing it
well. You're doing it good, yeah.
And so they ended up becoming my audience. And once I fell in love with teaching, they ended up becoming my permanent audience. And I stopped doing comedy years ago and only did it in the classroom.
Right. That's how I've always known you. You've always been like a funny, like, extroverted person. And then that day when we were doing that interview, you remember that for the Van Ness High School commercial, you were like,
yes, that's
you were
right.
like, Cameron, what do you want to do? And I was like, well, my dream is to be like a comedian. Like, I want to be on stage. I want to make people laugh. And you were like, that's how I got my start. So
that's how we bonded.
That's how we, that, yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful moment, Cameron.
Beautiful moment.
Really,
it's
just filling my heart with love and with joy and emotion. Okay. All right, move on.
So back to your getting into comedy. Like, did you have anybody that inspired you growing up? Like, who are your favorite comedians?
Honestly,
that you took, like, a lot of your material from and you, like, mapped it out based
honestly,
on there?
You know, I know this is radio and people can't see me, but my hair is red right now.
Yeah, it is red.
And growing up, I was a brunette. My hair was, like, dark, black. And people think that I dyed my hair to be more like Ariel, the Little Mermaid, but that's not true. I aspired to be Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett. And to me, the best comedians were always redheads. And that was actually something that I felt, well, if I'm going to be funny, I better be a redhead. And I don't know how funny I am, but I've always been a redhead since then.
True.
Yeah, Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball were definitely my two my role models, my icons. And you know what? The late Jerry Lewis, who just passed recently.
Yeah,
you know, RIP Jerry Lewis. He was one of the people that, with his use of physical comedy in addition to his facial expressions, was a huge inspiration to me. And I've got this amazing story about how I was out to dinner once when I was a little kid with my parents on a Sunday night. And Jerry Lewis and his family, unbeknownst to me, were having dinner in a private room in the back. And so the owner of the restaurant came up to me and he knew how much I loved Jerry Lewis. And he took me away from my parents' table. I might have been 8 or 9. And he quietly took me into Jerry Lewis's private room where he was having dinner with his family. And he introduced me to Jerry Lewis. And I sat there and I cried. And the irony of that day is that we were late for dinner because the movie Cinderfella, one of Jerry Lewis's best movies, was on TV. And I wouldn't get away from the television to go to dinner with my parents because I just had to finish watching the Jerry Lewis movie. And then ironically, I met him that night. And honestly, Cameron, that's a defining moment in my life because I didn't get to finish dinner with my parents and I'm still hungry to this day.
Yeah, I'm starving myself. So what is the proudest moment or thing or event or character or anything you've done on stage where you were like, that was it? Like, that was... that was the peak. Like, do you have a moment like that in your comedy career where you were killing it one night on stage and you were like, this is the best?
You know what? Anytime I did character work and I was dressed up in a funky costume and I, you know, put on a dialect or a different voice, that was always a good moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do a character called Esperanza Espinosa. And basically what I do is I take the accent from my mother and I talk like this because this is the way my mother talked for all the years over here in the United States. And I talk to people like this and I have a big wig and I have a scarf on my head and big collar for clothing, okay? And I was Esperanza Espinosa for the longest time. And then I would take Esperanza Espinosa and I would switch to my mother-in-law, who was a nice and gentle character, and her name was Esther. And she was a lovely and educated person, and obviously from New York, and she had a larger-than-life personality. So I would take these two characters, and I'd flip from one to the other, and once in and the other, and heaven only knows what would come out of me next. Because you know, Cameron, if you don't try it, you don't know it.
Wow. Well, it seems like that's all the time we have. What a way to end. I hope you all enjoyed the first episode of Comedy with Cameron, a job that's no laughing matter. Hopefully this will be the first of many. I'd like to thank Miss Fanny Aranha for joining me today for such a great interview. The least I can do is give you some plug time. So you have a few minutes. Please feel free to let the people know what you got going on in your life, any upcoming events happening at Van Nuys High School that you feel needs to be shared to the plethora of Pierce College students that would be interested in checking out. The floor is yours. You have about 3-4 minutes.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of things I want to say. I'm going to give a big shout out to a specific Pierce College student, my son, Josh. Hey, Josh, how you doing? He's over there working his little tushy off at Porter Middle
School
right now.
He's probably so
embarrassed. And he'll get over it. And a big happy birthday to Nikki on her 22nd birthday, my daughter.
Happy birthday, Nikki.
Happy birthday, Nikki. And I just want to remind everybody that you can like Van Nuys High School Magnets on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram and follow us on Twitter so that you, too, could be a part of that all-encompassing community that we call Van Nuys High School Magnets. And if you have a little bit of time, put these dates down in your calendar. We have the Fall Choral Concert coming up on Thursday, October 5th at 7 p.m. We've got a huge fall theater production of Flea in Her Ear, a French farce, coming up on Thursday, October 19th, Friday and Saturday, October 20th and 21st, Thursday, October 26th, and Friday, October 27th. All the times and specific dates are on the Van Nuys High School website. And then we've got a solo spotlight featuring some of the best musicians we have at Van Nuys High School on Thursday, November 16th at 3:30 p.m. and Friday, November 17th at 7 p.m. Those are some of the great things that are happening at Van Nuys High School. Because you know what, Cameron? There's always something great happening at Van Nuys High School. And you're one of the great things for me from Van Nuys High School. When you did announcements in the morning as the voice of Van Nuys, you always used to end it by howling out. Can you and I howl out together right now?
I guess so.
Will you give me
just
that?
Just for one time for the past.
Just for one time. You're Cameron, and I'm Fanny, and we're...
We are howling out. See you guys next time. I'm Cameron Kern with KPCRRadio.com.